Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's Last Week on Keith and the Girl. Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, and I'm Bianca Brady. I'm here with Keith, Mally, and Hemda for another episode of your favorite show that's about your favorite show. How are you guys?
Doing good. How's your week?
So far, so good. You know, I feel like I'm not in New York. I'm on the island of Martha's Vineyard, where it's a little bit like vacation-y. So even though I'm still working full time, I kind of feel like I've hit the pause button on the old life. You know what I'm saying? Wasting away again in Margaritaville, as they say.
Cheers. So,
yeah, it feels good to just kind of check out of reality, because reality is pretty much a big episode of Keith's Bummer News. To get farther and farther away, you have to cross a little bit of ocean and find a little plot of land, you know, outside of reality, which is what I've done. And I don't know if I'm proud of it, but it is sort of helping.
Then why not be proud?
I don't know. Is there virtue in suffering? I can never tell.
There's always suffering. So don't worry. We have plenty of virtue.
Okay. Keith?
I hope you're good. I can't tell.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Then I'm happy.
Okay. I am good. I've been going to the beach a lot. I've been eating a lot of lobster rolls and clam chowder, taking a lot of pictures of the ocean and then just looking at them, even though the ocean's still right in front of me, you know, like looking at the picture I just took.
You're like, yep, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been nice to spend time with family. I don't know. I've never done anything like this. I've been in New York for like 15 years without really a break. So it's been pretty wild.
It sounds like it's fitting right.
Yeah.
Like it's surprising you.
Yeah, and there are still bugs. They're different bugs. You know, they're not city bugs.
Like there's rats.
There's like no roaches, but there's like scary spider. There's no rats, but there's like a bunny, you know, a little baby bunny in a garden.
Very close. Yeah, very close. Yeah.
So, yeah.
They'll still eat your shit. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Let it settle in.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel excited to be here with you all. Yet again, to talk about the last week's shows. Keith, you didn't know that we were doing this episode today at this time. Can you talk about what happened? Can you tell the people why you were
called out?
Well, the days are running together for me, and I knew there was an after show. I just, for whatever reason, I assumed it was Newsies, which we do an hour later on Wednesday than we do this on a Monday. And that threw me.
You hear that, Newsy? We all look the same to him. Rude. No, I'm just kidding. It's easy to get mixed up because Xerxes sends a calendar reminder, and then it's like all you have is like Xerxes in your inbox. Xerxes, 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 Xerxes. Right. And you're like, what is this? Ancient Persia? Or my email? You know? I don't know. And then you click.
Yeah, what's with him reminding you and sending you the place that organizes the links? My God.
Well, he said he's like, hey, I can drop something off for you later tonight at 8.
And I'm weed. Like, well, that's. It was weed, and it's weed rolled up that Xerxes rolls up, and it's definitely illegal. Keith?
And so they said, so then I thought, oh, that's perfect, because at 6, I'm going to be talking to Bianca. And then that gives me time at 7 to 8 to get back home. So, of course, he thought that through, and my time is correct. Like, I texted, where are you?
That was incredible math on how to blame Xerxes for everything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use that.
He can get his shit together and say, I'll see you in 1 minute, because we're all going to be doing this show up with Bianca.
That's another thing. I see Keith, normally he would be there, but it's before the show. So I'm thinking he's putting up the show. And then it comes to, you know, on the hour, then 5 minutes past the hour. And here's me and Keith reminding each other that we need to be somewhere, like, hey, buddy, where are you at?
I'm like, okay.
Okay, why would Hamda ask me that? I'm here. What does she care? Oh, I got to be somewhere.
Yeah. And then you just like pulled up your pants and ran, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're close. Yeah.
All right. We have so many fun shows to talk about. Mm-hmm. Let's just dive in, like me into the ocean yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Episodes 3302 to 3304. 3302, The Fighter and the Kid. Mm-hmm. Now, you covered a lot of ground here, talking about new allegations against comedian Brian Callen. Uh-huh. So another guy where when you're like, maybe I've heard that name before, I think. And then you Google him and you go, oh, yeah, that guy. And then you think, mm-hmm. huh, not surprised. You know, it's like a middling sort of annoying vibe. Dirtbag guy was a dirtbag also in life. Yeah, that fits.
It's something how they, you know, whenever a big news article comes out like this with, you know, several rape accusers, they go back to what these people say on their podcast or what comedians, what I think is joking about them. And it's always that they're a fucking creep and a pervert. And I didn't put it together. Like, you know, not to jump ahead, but on the show that we just did, we talk about Jeff Ross and looking back at these comedians saying, oh, Jeff, how do you get all these tens? I mean, teens. I read that roast joke wrong. And I remember laughing at it. And so was I just thinking, oh, everybody's saying he's unattractive, so he can only get kids. Like, I don't even know. I didn't even look too much into it. But the joke was, you all know that he's a fucking pervert.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially with I love your sort of brash like challenge to them to please release an episode of your podcast.
Right.
It's like that would be Christmas, birthday, Hanukkah, yes. Everything all in one. If when he said, and there'll be a special Saturday night episode of my podcast to tell you.
I was ready. I'm like, yeah. I was up all night. I'm like, yeah. All right, I'll call it a day. First thing in the morning. Where is it?
Refreshing the feed, like so hard with your finger. Come on.
Yeah. And of course, nothing. And then the Fighter and the Kid specifically. Chris D'Elia just stopped. The Fighter and the Kid did come out. As soon as I put out that show, which we called The Fighter and the Kid, Fighter and the Kid did come out with the show. I'm like, okay, could have been 2 minutes earlier, I would have appreciated that, but let's see. It's without Brian. And the other guy is just saying the co-host. So Brian is the kid. The Fighter is, I guess he's a comedic type, but he's more an MMA wrestler, MMA fighter. And so the Fighter is saying, you know what? I got things to say, but Brian told me not to say them. It's like, you weren't there with Brian during this rape. Yeah, you have nothing to do with it. What are you going to say? And I'm like, but okay, say it. Because that'll be a nice dumb appetizer until I get the dumb main course. But he's like, and Brian told me not to say anything, so I won't. So they did like a 2.5 hour show about nothing. MMA fighting, do whales fuck.
And I'm
like,
you this fought is just, through that this, whole thing.
I heard an hour and then I heard the last 10 minutes and there's nothing at the end. And the hour I heard, just acting like it's another day. They sound like they had a comic fill in and they just sounded like idiots. Quite frankly, because we know what we want to hear about. And whether you can talk about it or not, you don't put 2.5 hours of fucking bullshit. Share a personal story about yourself and ladies if you want. I don't know, but there's got to be something you can do. Especially, or don't do it.
Especially because whales do fuck. I mean, how else do you think there are baby whales?
Right. Well, they had fun with it.
That there are no whale eggs in the ocean.
Well, they went on and on.
Well, I mean, that's really so disappointing, Keith. I'm sorry. I know you were looking forward to that. Right. And it was take it away from you.
Well, you know how people like they have these quick defenses, like, well, what if and what if? Well, I'll tell you what, if we're going to do something silly like that, Brian Callen is not a trustworthy person. He said, Keith Malley, I'm coming out with a podcast tomorrow evening. You can check it out. I said, thank you. I told friends and family to lose my number. And nothing. And still kept that tweet up. For what? Is it weird if you change your tweet now? Delete it. You're not coming out with one ever. Never mind that date.
Yeah. Also, what is it with this certain type of comedian's fixation on MMA? It's like the Joe Rogan model, but it sort of trickles down, you know, like Reaganomics to other lesser Joe Rogan types, where it's like, why are we all into comedy and MMA?
As like, they really go together. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Bianca, what you don't understand is testosterone does a certain thing to men that we and other men will never understand unless we have an urge to either kill or rape. And other than that, you know, thank you for punching a wall because you controlled yourself. And please, you have too much estrogen running through your body to ever understand what's happening. So unless...
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So mind your fucking business. MMA. If you don't like it, you're just a chick anyway. And maybe you're falling into your own stereotypes, proving me correct.
I know. And I'm not even a hot chick. So nobody can even see me when I talk. It sucks. But if anybody could explain to me what the appeal of comedy and MMA together in the same package, it's like, ha ha ha, here's my joke. Blammo, and now a big kick to your head. It's never like boxing and comedy. It's never taekwondo and comedy. It's always MMA, and it doesn't make sense.
Well, Keith, you're not, I wouldn't say you're an MMA fan, but you like that whole cage idea of no rules, right?
Yes, the basically no holds barred is what I like. Yeah, but I mean, I heard that show, finally figured out who the fighter is and who the kid is. And they don't talk about MMA smart. They talk about like, did you see Johnson last night? Powerhouse. He's strong. He's right. Well, they're all strong. You're not learning anything. I've seen Joe Rogan call a match. He sounded smart to me. These guys, I'm like, you're stupid. You're just saying you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not for me, so it's fine, you know, but I'm befuddled. Really, yeah. It's just my own befuddlement. And, you know, some things are not meant to be understood by women. Bianca. Women. You guys also talked about Ellen on the show, speaking of celebs and all of her producers and everybody. You know, and it's not, and again, it's not surprising because every time something comes out and you're like, yeah, there is something sinister about Ellen and we all knew it and we're all just waiting for it to come out, you know? I'm glad that it's, you know, the poison has been bubbling under the surface and now it's just bubbling over the sides of the pot.
Yeah, it's not just it's just not that being mean, you know, which I know I thought of first off. I'm like, let me guess, it's a woman in charge, and is she mean? And you know, she's got to stand up for herself. But then you hear more and more. Then me and kind of know a producer that worked with her and hated her, and you just hear all these stories. Then now recently it gets to weird sexual stuff with the executive producer that supposedly she didn't know about. Okay. You weren't hearing shit. You weren't feeling it in the air, but some guests did. Not nice. Thumbs down.
Blech.
Yeah. Blech.
Blech.
Yeah.
Well, Ellen aside, you guys talked about Omadathon on that show, which sounds like it went really well. How was it to have something be for 1 minute at a time, and yet it took you all day.
All the time.
How was that? It's not really in keeping with the spirit of the program, is it?
No, it's not. And I have been put on timeout for new projects because I get very, very excited. And, you know, a lot of thanks to like the team, because I get excited and they, you know, help me put together this idea. So that's amazing. How does it feel? It feels like a real marathon, and I need to recognize it. And we happen to pick like the hottest day of the year, basically, and we can't keep the AC on while OMAT is live. But it was really good. People responded right away. We had JFOD come in. That was cool. And a couple of Xerxes' old high school buddies were in there. That was really nice. I got a little bit nervous about that because they didn't understand it beforehand. They were like, so people pay to come in so they can watch you do a plank all day? And I'm like, okay, what are you telling them?
Well, they were right, but they were curious and checked out the planks all day. So
and they both had something to say afterwards, and it was both like very relevant and very sweet, and they participated, and you know, we saw them participate. There was cameras. Kyle came. I don't know. It was really, really sweet. It was nice. And then, you know, I had to calm down afterwards because I'm like, well, we do a marathon every year. Maybe we could do a marathon every year. And then I was like, right, okay, let's just enjoy what just happened and have some pizza in celebration. And then tomorrow is another day. And tomorrow the next day we woke up at 5:30 and did OMAT again.
Keith, did you do every single one? Every hour?
I actually, it's embarrassing. I missed the very first one. So I wasn't a good partner. Oh. I don't know how I missed it. I do actually. So that one I missed because my alarm was still set on Monday through Friday at my alarm times. Mm-hmm. And so I missed it on a Sunday.
Gotcha.
So I missed the first one. Then on Monday, I missed the regular first one. And I don't know how I did. I woke up like an hour or two after, and I see my alarm is still on the like snooze at like 8 minutes or something. But a snooze is 9 minutes. So does that mean I was snoozing for 2 hours and didn't know? I don't know. That makes no sense.
The funniest part is, like, we know as soon as we don't see Keith, he's going to be more upset than we ever could. So we're like, okay, that's happening. It's me that's, you know, really running it. It's nice to see Keith, but, like, it could still go on, right? And then, so at the end of OMATathon, I'm like, hey, you know, tomorrow, make sure your alarm is set. Or, like, did you find a way to go around, like, the fact that you might be snoozing or, you know, you need to put it in the other room or whatever? And he goes, I know how alarms work. I'm like, oh, tomorrow is going to be so fun. Because what I can't say is, okay, but today was a lot. So what we learned about today and how we're going to follow through that, I was like, that's right. You do know. And then the next day when he was like, hey, you know, he literally said, I don't know as much as I, or like, oh, the alarm again. And I go, oh. And with all your knowledge of alarm clocks, which I stole that line from Grace and Frankie when Frankie said to Grace, and with all your knowledge of telephones, when she was being condescending. So I got to be condescending in the way that Keith likes. He actually likes people responding like that to him, because if you were to sincerely say, hey, Keith, you know, you got to be here. Like we talked about, he's going to be like, what part of this am I not? So you have to be like, alarm clock's right. And he has to be like, I'm a shithead. And you have to be like, yeah, okay. See you tomorrow, I think, right? Because you suck. He loves it. I don't know why. I, you know, we have to learn that, like, he loves that and I don't. So, right. You know, because he's like, he used to try to cheer me up with like, and I'm like, what? And he's like, because that's what we do. I'm like, no, I do that for you. I hate it. Mm-hmm. And so now I only go to him when I need the version of let's get better.
Anyway. Isn't that something the day you learn you're not supposed to treat others the way you want to be treated? That's something. That was a big day.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And that's our alarm clock segment that Keith is well versed in. So
yeah, Keith. Wow.
Right. Wow. But I gave him my oldest other 15 minutes.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. I really am, because I think it's great that you've been doing OMAT and that you're getting stuff out of it. You've talked about it on several episodes where something kind of clicks in your brain and you go, Hemda! Mm-hmm.
I know what she's up to.
It's a trick.
Loud and clear.
What was the poll for the fighter and the kid?
The poll was, are Brian Callen and Chris D'Elia lying to each other also? Do they go, oh, I'm in trouble, Chris, like you were. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't get it, these bitches. Anyways. Or do they go, hey, we both got busted for assault, for rape.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about that because I was like, you know, doing that thing where I was like, well, what would I do if I was ever in that situation? And I was like, oh, I never would be because I don't like assault people.
Right.
So
easy math.
Yeah. I was like, Bianca, stop trying to empathize with dirt bags. Like, right. What are you like? Just you don't have to put yourself there.
Right. If I was Hitler, but I knew it was the downfall of Germany, would I say, hey, I get it. I'm putting my people in danger would I?
I think I'm starting to get Keith's, you know, like mindset. As I get older, I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't need to go there.
Right.
Yeah.
The benefit of the doubt isn't for everyone.
Well, I heard on The Fighter and the Kid, they started talking about Epstein and I'm like, I don't think you guys are allowed to. Really? You're going to talk about what's going on at Ellen's workplace? Really? And somehow you know that's wrong. But no way, Brian and Chris.
They're like, that Ghislaine Maxwell, I would have liked to see her at 16. I mean, 18 and a half, 19. I mean
legal age in jail, not on my dick.
And only if she said okay.
And 16 in some states, so how can I even keep track? What did the audience say?
Are Brian, Callen, and Chris D'Elia lying to each other as well? 88% say yes. I think so, too.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what are they going to be like?
Which is weird. You got to hear the other person's lies. You know they're lying, but you want them to believe your lie, so they're going with it, too, but you're not sure. You think you're tricking them. You know they're lying to you.
No, because if they're telling the truth, then it strengthens your truth. So you're hoping they keep talking to you like that, I think.
Right, but at the same time, you know. I mean, you know. Right. Brian knows Chris did it. He knows
that. There's also not really any sports on right now, so people can't face forward and lie to each other.
Right.
I did watch golf the other day, so maybe they could watch that and sort of, you know, get to the bottom of things together as friends. I don't know.
They go, hey, you want to get together and talk about our problems? I'm like, really? What's on TV?
Exactly. Okay, moving along. Yes. Episode 3,303.
But Bianca, you weren't too upset with me about Monday's show being all rapey?
No. There's something about, like, I think it was just the whole thing of, like, getting so mad at anonymous people.
Okay.
That was what, like, put me over the edge that day. But no, I think, like, it's important to talk about these people. And, like, another thing that you talked about that I didn't mention was the white guy who got, like, who did shoot at police officers and got defended by them saying, you know, he's had a hard week. It's like, yeah, same. But, you know, and it's like, it's good to call out the hypocrisy. So, no, you didn't bum me out, but you're still on thin ice, babe.
Sure. Sure, that's fair. Alan Dershowitz wants to lower the age of consent. All right, guilty. Thanks for the op-ed. You're in jail now.
A couple of years ago, so he has a house here where I'm at, Martha's Vineyard. And a couple of years ago, he like got really upset because nobody here was inviting him to their like cocktail hours.
Oh my God.
He like pitched a fit because he wasn't any allowed in the, you know, neoliberal elite cocktail party scene anymore. Anyway, it's all garbage. Episode 3,303.
Yes.
Sweet and Lowdown with Mae Wilkerson. Again, we've got guests from here and there, up and down, east and west, and Mae's in LA, and that does rhyme. And it was great to hear from her and learn all about her quarantine habits, anxiety, Trader Joe's, anxiety, TV, anxiety, Trader Joe's, snacking, we're snacking. And it sounds like a good time over there with her.
She was an ideal guest. She's just lovely from booking to showing up to working on sound to playing along. She's just in there. She's one of the funniest people ever. So good. And right after we were done, Keith, do you remember the anecdote she told us? She's like, oh, I meant to say this on air.
Of course I do. Of course I do. She said at 7 o'clock in LA, the way we would clap for essential workers, people were clapping for the cops, especially during the George Floyd time. And it was really bumming her out that every day at 7, everybody's clapping for the blue. And so she cranked the shows that we did during the George Floyd protest out her window at 7 o'clock as counter-programming. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's Keith Justice.
I enjoyed that.
She was combating her neighbors with us, with the sound of Keith yelling.
Wow. I was never into the clapping at 7 o'clock thing. Like, they can't hear you. They're at work, you know, like they're busy.
Right. But at least that was for the nurses and stuff, right?
Clapping for cops is like,
I mean, you're making a statement. Yeah.
Come on, get out of here.
Yeah. They're fine.
You can walk yourself right into the Pacific Ocean with friggin' Agreed. Rocks in your pocket, as far as I'm concerned.
You did that. Go jack off now, idiot.
New beach references by Bianca.
Yeah, I'm a very beach focused right now. All the ways I murder now are, it's like, oh, there's a shark in the water. Oh.
You write what you know.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
New chapter.
This episode, you talked about Benny's list of life goals.
Yes.
So it's good that he's thinking ahead in this time.
Mm-hmm.
How does Kyle feel about his, acting and fame ambitions? What is that like for her?
Well, it'll probably change in a week. It was baseball player a month ago. So who knows?
He's very into performing.
Yes. True. Yes, he is. I enjoy that if his first goal is to be famous, we understand that money's attached to that. And that sounds like a house for us, I would have to assume.
that'll be good.
That's why I'm trying to be friends with him. I don't lock the door during sex. I want us to be a little family.
Well, that's already backfired on you once, I remember.
Yeah, well, spoiler twice.
I remember all the times I've listened to the show and vomited into my own mouth, mm-hmm. like during one of those kinds of descriptions. Oh, no. Speaking of gross.
Yes.
The classic gross May-December matchup of Sean Penn and Vincent D'Onofrio's daughter.
Yeah.
The thing about Sean Penn is that I never can get over is remember when he went to Mexico to talk to El Chapo?
Oh, right. Secretly? And didn't tell the cops. Yeah. He just wanted to do a story.
And then he published a story in Rolling Stone where he was like, and I went to Mexico and talked to El Chapo. And the FBI's like, yeah, we know. We saw you do it. And it was really dumb. And you really, he's like, and then I walked through the jungle and nobody knew that I was there to talk to El Chapo. And the FBI's like, we've been like tracing this guy for decades. So yes, we did actually know. Yes, you're a great actor, but maybe, I don't know. I just, because I used to work at Us Weekly, which was owned by Rolling Stone, the same parent company. Mm. And so we shared an office, like a floor. And I remember when that came out and like the hubbub in the office and because none of the writers really knew about.
Oh, wow.
It was like from the publisher, Sean Penn to the publisher, it was like a secret add-on piece. And then.
It was that important.
Everybody was just like, what? Sean Penn interviews El Chapo for Rolling Stone? But why? And right. Now he's married to, you know, I bet, you know, I wish him well. I hope they're happy. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope they're happy. It's weird. It's strange. It's very strange. And does any of his, like when they're dating, does any of the exes go, what?
I'm sure.
What's the age difference again?
30
years.
59, 28. So the age difference is not, the age difference is more than her age. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what's her thoughts on fracking? Do you love him? I don't know. But what else is there?
She's like, I fell for him when I read his article about El Chapo in Rolling Stone.
It was dangerous, right?
He teaches her about how rotary phones used to work.
Oy.
Right. He's definitely, and I've heard him in interviews recently because he's doing interviews talking about doing the COVID testing for people. And it's a shame. You know, we live in America. We need an actor to do it. But my point is he seems morally sound, especially morally sound. And that's why this is just so weird to me.
Well, he's had a lot of like volatility in his romantic relationships. I think he like,
yeah, where's morally sound coming from?
Yeah,
I mean, in the interview, it's what I hear, like making judgments on Hollywood or
sure,
right. Madonna.
He's been accused of domestic violence with, I think, Madonna and Robin Wright when they were married, and I don't know, like it always strikes me as weird, like with the El Chapo thing, and then I remember after Katrina, he went down there and he was like, you know, in a friggin' motorboat, like picking people out of trees and stuff. And it's an interesting character study to me, like these people who become they're so egotistical that it's like, yes, of course I fly down there and pluck children out of trees in Hurricane Katrina. And of course I test everybody for COVID. And it's like, okay, good. Like, thank you. But also, what? Why? Like, what? Like, why
they go,
does...
They go around procedure. They go
right,
around, like...
Yeah.
It's like... superhero status before
exactly.
You ask how do you need help, you're just going
right.
to give the help that you want to give.
Want to so give, right.
It's very different. But also, I don't know, a lot of times people get everything and there is stuff in their blind spot. Like, and a lot of times it's, you could be into a few movements and you speak very well on them, but you still marginalize women because you don't understand that you're marginalizing women. You don't understand that you're being sexist. And it's just somehow you can catch it with other marginalized groups. But when it comes to just actively participating in life without that sexism and without, you know, that thing that we do to women, it just, you don't equate it with equality for some reason. It's not really on your radar. I think you just see them as what, they're equal. They, you know, there are women actors, there are women, you know, all around me, and I let them speak about anything. Like, who's holding them down? They're not like in the kitchen. They're not, you know, so I don't think they see. I just found out that Chappelle has had Louis C.K. open for him a couple times. Chappelle, who did that video 846, who speaks so well, who is, you know, was ahead of his time, before ahead of his time and whatever, there's that still, like, women are different. He's still saying Michael Jackson didn't do it. And, you know, imagine how cool you would be on the playground if Michael Jackson fucked you the night before. There's, with all that knowledge and all that, you know, understanding the politics behind our social behavior, with all of that, there's still these things that it's like, oh, wow, that you're not equating this with the other. It's like the same situation, but it's just not seen.
I'm reading Sean Penn was extremely violent to Madonna when the two were married in the 80s. Once in June 87, he allegedly caused the pop superstar to be hospitalized after hitting across the head with a baseball bat. But Madonna, who remained protective of her husband, refused to press charges since Penn was already facing 60 days in jail for assaulting a film extra. Things got even uglier in December of 1989. According to a police report filed by Madonna, Penn scaled their Malibu home that afternoon, found Madonna alone in her bedroom, and told her that he owned her, quote, lock, stock, and barrel. Then it goes on for a bit. But not too long ago, Madonna has said that it never happened. But she did file a report back in the day. That's why I don't really know.
I imagine I don't want to keep imagining things that happened. Okay, but a woman like Madonna in the height of her career saying that, you know, this dude punched her or hit her with a bat. Yeah, especially when we didn't understand that on an even bigger level. We were just like, what? That wouldn't happen to Madonna. Madonna's a strong woman with like a lot of power, so it wouldn't happen like that. But
when she told him she was leaving the house, he tried, this is according to reports, he tried to bind her hands with an electric lamp and cord. Screaming and afraid, Madonna fled from the bedroom. What followed was a 9-hour ordeal, which left her deeply shaken. Penn chased her into the living room, caught her, and bound her to a chair with heavy twine. Then he threatened to cut off her hair. He allegedly smacked and roughed up Madonna. That's a quote, smacked and roughed up Madonna while she was tied to a chair, and then left for a few hours to buy more booze, leaving his then-wife bound and gagged, only to return and continue terrorizing her. He only agreed to untie her after she agreed to perform a degrading sex act on him, and then fled the house, got in her car, and raced to the sheriff's office, eventually stumbling inside. This lieutenant says, I hardly recognized her as Madonna. She was weeping. Her lip was bleeding. She had obviously been struck. Okay. And was charged with felony domestic assault, but Madonna told the DA to drop the charges.
There you have it. I don't know. How could it not have happened? What part of that says it didn't happen?
Yep.
So, you want to take back that morally correct bullshit? He might know some stuff, but he still did this other stuff.
Well, I'm just saying the way he talks, he seems aware. And so what happens when you...
That's why he fell so far from grace. It's just this, like, you knew, you said.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
So terrifying to women.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying these people know. Like, he knows there's a 30-year age difference. He's not just like, what's the problem?
Does anybody know Vincent D'Onofrio's daughter's email that we could send her that article?
It's, you know what? It's probably LelaGeorge@gmail, right?
Might as well just try forward it along.
I bet you I can reach Tom Cruise on the third try.
I hope his email is like the cruiser, you know, like something fun like that.
Cruising Tom.
Ooh. The poll there had to do with the age gap, as I recall.
So here's the poll.
A bit cryptic.
I wonder if it was. Did you find it cryptic?
Keith Riddle wrapped in a mystery box. No, I didn't find it cryptic.
Okay. I wonder if people did or this is how they really think. The poll was, age ain't nothing but a number. And your choices are yes or no. True or false, rather. Age ain't nothing but a number. Is that true or is that false? I voted false. It's important. It's more than a number. True, 33%. False, 67%. So according to the poll, assuming people understood my poetry, 33% of the audience thinks, no, the age doesn't matter.
The next time somebody freaks out when they're turning 40, ask them what the problem is. It's just a number. And the next time they check you into a hospital and they say, oh, if you're 70, this might heal differently than if you were 20, just tell them it's just a number. And the next time you want to get your driver's license and they told you to wait, the next time you're trying to sign up for the army and they go, yeah, not you. What are you talking about?
I think that was a trick, Keith. I think you tricked the people.
That they were confused, you mean?
Yeah, I think you tried to do science, but
I hope so. Let us know on the forums to this show or the other one. Were you confused? Or do you understand age ain't nothing but a number is what a mentally challenged person says?
Is it maybe a double negative of sorts?
They thought about it where, like, you know, in like a Stella getting her groove back way where like somebody is 40 or, you know, and they're like, yeah, I'm hot. I'm 40. Age ain't nothing but a number. You know, maybe they took it like that.
But they have to know it has something to do with the show, though, too, doesn't it?
Maybe they didn't think. Maybe they were like, Keith's trying to tell me to, you know, just be as my fiercest self. And I love him for that. Age ain't nothing but a number. Yeah, Keith. High five. Something like that. Maybe.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, 40 something, but I could still change careers if I want because.
Yeah.
Right. And let me know that if it's the way I worded it. And let me know that even though I'm pretty clear that that means you're a fucking idiot. Don't look at it that way. Just maybe I wrote it wrong. And I'm curious what you thought. Thank you.
You guys, you're under no obligation to reply to this poll. The polls are closed. And the pollsters have gone home. Okay, moving on. Yes. Episode 3304, Primal Scream with Maddie Smith. Mm. I love her. And good. Talk about another person with whom I would like to be friends, if possible.
She makes lemonade for sure. Yeah,
she's so funny. And I mean, gosh, just talking about how everything she's ever done, like, or not everything, but some of her biggest things have been stymied by, you know, the bad behavior of the powerful men at the helm of those things. Yeah. But she talks about it with humor and, you know, humility and, you know, I just thought it was really an interesting perspective because I think we do forget when like a Nick Cannon or a Jeff Ross gets called out for something that it does affect probably a lot of nice and good and talented people who work with that person.
Yeah. And I think the younger generation is doing a thing where they're like, yeah, they fucked up. I lost a job, but not like, could you please not talk about it so I won't lose a job?
Right.
That's that shift. I think we saw a lot where it comes to, before, you know, guests would come in and say, I'd rather not talk about this. We don't even give them a choice. Even in a recent one, Keith was like, do you think it's cool if we talk to this guest about this? And I go, no one's getting babysat anymore about that. That's what's happening. That's what's being talked about. And if they want to not talk about Louis C.K. or Epstein or whatever, then then you don't get to talk about that other stuff either. It's just not, it's not a question. It's, yep. We're not asking you if you raped someone. And even if we were, I don't, this is a talk show.
I do see that. Yeah, I definitely see it changing. I remember, you know, with Louis C.K. Wow, why didn't these women come out sooner? The classic stupid things that people weren't shy to say. And then, but then we'd go, okay, I'm going to talk about that on this show. And the guy would be like, well, no, I mean, I don't want, like, what? They don't even want to be in the room when I'm talking about it. I'll go, I'll just talk about it and you jump in if you want. Like, no, I'd rather not. Well, that really, because that's going to affect you. But these women should have known how to play it right with a dick gun in their face.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we noticed the 40-year-old men are like, they're always this close to working with that pervert. So they don't want to say anything bad. And it's like, yeah, you're not on his radar. And neither are all these women. Would you like their names? But the 30-year-olds are like, yeah, let's talk about it. So we don't ask anybody anymore. You know, we also, like, we don't want people stifling in the middle of a show, but that's not even a thing. Just, I don't know, then get stifled. Relax.
Yeah, and Maddie, I thought, was like, I she couldn't have been more perfect. You know, just, and I think all that just for being honest and being truthful with how she really feels. Like, yeah, it's a bummer for me, but it's, that's, you know, what happens when the other shoe drops on somebody's bad behavior, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Kenda, she was great. Mm-hmm. Did your Google Home take over your home? Are you okay? Oh, is the computer listening now?
Yes.
Because that freaked me out. It giggled.
Yes. But like a creepy giggle.
Yeah. When you said you thought you were going to see a kid with long hair in the corner, I was like... Yeah, that got me. I don't like that. No.
It was definitely.
What? Yeah, that's straight hair, but you could tell if you give it 5 minutes, it'll tangle up.
Yes. In their
and
face.
It's also, she's using it as a broom. Yeah. Scraping it across the floor.
Right.
Oh, it was so scary. I'm like, come on. I don't know. But we did Google it, and other people have had a Google giggle out of nowhere.
Yeah, you Googled it, and Google said, perfectly normal.
Yeah, that's right.
Who are you going to tell? Yeah.
We also have You know, you could say, okay, Google, let's play trivia. And like sometimes you play Jeopardy and sometimes another thing. It's always like pre-recorded messages from Alec Trebek or, you know, whoever's hosting it. And then all of a sudden we got it there. They suggest other games and whatever. And all of a sudden it felt like somebody in India picked up and said, hey, how's it going? What would you like to play? And it's like, that doesn't sound pre-recorded. This is very strange. The whole vibe changed. It was very much like, this is what we're trying here. You know, we're taking like live. It was very, very strange. We both kind of were like, wait, that sounds different. You know, it sounded live.
Hello, it is me, Bob. How are you?
No, it was just an Indian woman, you know, Indian accent speaking English. And it was,
what was
just,
her name? What was her name? Carol?
I don't remember. I think we were so like, the vibe changed so much that it was even hard to remember what she was asking or what was going on. I was writing it down right away because I was trying to not be spooked enough in order to write it.
When they're talking and you throw the device immediately in the toilet, do you hear them gargling and shit, or it's just harder to hear, I guess, right?
So creepy. Yeah.
I was thinking that she would unplug it like a grenade and throw it out the window.
Whoa.
It's so creepy.
It is. There's been other times where, let's say, Xerxes and I were talking about, you know, getting a fake little blow up pool in the back. And then it's something like that. And then all of a sudden in our timelines, we didn't look on Amazon yet. We didn't Google it yet. It just was in our timeline already. And the fucked up thing is like, fuck, thank you. Okay. You don't want to be like, unsubscribe. You want to be like, can you listen that intent me a little more? And can you tell Keith it's time to get on a mic check? Just because I think it'd be better coming from a giggle from you.
Well, that's that surveillance capitalism that, you know, I'm always railing about. Check out Shoshana Zuboff's work and her iconic hair, if you haven't already. The guy who broke into the bank to cook a Hot Pocket. Now, that's the kind of news I like to hear about. And that he's going in my Hall of Fame along with the woman who married the ghost and the 129-year-old woman who never had a good day.
Right.
He's on my Mount Rushmore with them of fabulous people from Keith's news stories. A man breaks into a bank to cook a Hot Pocket. And let me tell you why. Because you can't eat those things cold. That's disgusting.
Yeah. They're called Hot Pockets.
Yeah. Right. They're not called cold pockets.
No, they're not. No.
Yeah, shout out to that guy. I love him, and he's the best.
People who have been listening so early on in this to this show that they got both those references.
Do you think there's any truth to that thought that he just had the Hot Pockets on him in case he got caught robbing a bank?
Sure.
And then he could be a weirdo?
Sure, yeah. On TV and in movies, they're talking about, you know, what you can plead insanity.
Right.
And that's a trope of so many movies for so many decades. Well, maybe we could get away with it if you plead insanity. Right. What's better than a Hot Pocket to demonstrate that you are insane?
In so many ways.
Because you have to be crazy to even eat that in a real
way.
Nice in your own house.
Right.
Not with breaking
public.
In. Yeah.
Did he bring a fork and knife, or is he like eating it like it's meant to be eaten? That's what they're going to ask him on the stand. His lawyer better get him ready. You know, this isn't a joke anymore. This is a sanity plea.
Imagine getting a Hot Pocket in a nice restaurant. Today, sir, the Hot Pocket comes with, give me a break. Oh, boy.
The defense rests. Yes. Okay, so you revisited Keith's dad's death.
Yes.
His imminent death. October, the Leafs, alas, they are butt crunching underfoot. Mm-hmm. You know,
sugar maple.
The smile of a child, the breathless sigh of an elderly man, the crunch of a sugar maple underfoot, and the majesty of our Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And what, you know, what your the poll was like, what should we do to sort of commemorate this major milestone in Dad's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I have an idea that wasn't on the poll.
Oh man.
Maybe people should mail just a single leaf in an envelope. It doesn't even have to be to him. It could be to your P.O. box, just a single leaf, and then you forward all of these envelopes with just one leaf in each of them to him so that he can fulfill his dying wish of crunching them no matter what month it is. Because then it doesn't even have to be October. He could just save it.
Keith is like, I'm doing him too many favors here. This is going to feel good. This is sentimental. It's thoughtful. It's
No, I like it. It's not thoughtful. I sent it to him. So they all come from New York.
Right.
In your plan, does he know that I sent them?
No, because they're all just like addressed to whatever, but all different envelopes, you know, they're just PO box, but it's
in one
like,
big envelope.
Yeah. But it's like Father Malley, care of Keith Malley. And then you say like, Dad, you know, people have on my show, you know, we've been talking about your imminent demise and people just wanted to send you, you know, a tribute to just make your death as crispy as you could have ever dreamed for it to be.
I like the idea. I'll think on it. I like it.
I think, Keith, if you would want to send it directly, you can open a P.O. box in your hometown. This way, he gets all the different cities and states and countries, but it's not directly to his home, which
He would still see a postmark regardless. He would see the state, the city on the top left of the...
No, you give everybody that P.O. box. That means they can just send directly.
And tell them to check out a P.O. box?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I'll say, Dad, please check out a P.O. box, even though you assume I want you dead. Can you do that for me?
But I also like the idea of a singing telegram Grim Reaper a lot.
The audience didn't like that one the most. I enjoyed that too. Yeah. The poll was, what is your favorite Father Malley October death trick? The choices were, Dad receives condolence cards from all around the world, an obituary in his local paper. Some people even said, just make a whole fake paper and have it sent.
That was cute.
A tombstone installed in his backyard. I think that's Kyle's favorite. A Grim Reaper visits and sings to him.
I love that one.
That's funny.
Getting the least amount of votes, a Grim Reaper visits and sings to him. At number three, a tombstone installed in his backyard. At number two, Dad receives condolences cards. Number one, an obituary in his local newspaper. Mm. Number one pick.
Wow. You guys are fucked up.
No matter what you picked.
Right. So we'll see.
All right. Well, stay tuned, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked about during that show, my mom paddling me for telling my sister I'm Spider-Man. And I did hear a point, I think it was Maddie, that said, the same point, kind of just making, but I said, well, that's different than just pretending if I'm Spider-Man. I lied and said I was Spider-Man. And she goes, would it have mattered? And I'm listening back going, yeah, no, it wouldn't. When the matter
that's what pretending is. You turn into the character. You pretend. Oh, God.
Oh. That was a tough one to hear as a person invested in your growth from your childhood, where you're like, well, you know, I was wrong because I told my sister I was Spider-Man, you know? Oh, that's not the kind of thing you don't get punished for. It's like, oh, God, no. We're talking about
Well, you know what? So she had, I know my sister had to say, he's Spider-Man, And he's here because he's trying to save this family that's having problems. So it couldn't have added to it that then she then paddles me. That does sound like a problem, Spider-Man.
She paddle herself for that one. What the fuck? You're expressing yourself in this mystery.
Bend over. We do not have problems.
Oh, my. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. What an unveiling of, like, we've heard this story a lot. But I just put it together that your mom was so quick to be like, you're getting hit. You're getting hit for telling your sister you're Spider-Man. And she was probably just saying it like, and yeah, and Keith is Spider-Man, and he's going to show me how he scales the wall. That's so cute. Really? Ooh, where do you think he got his magic powers from? What the fuck? You're teaching about a man in the sky who could see everything. Keith can't be Spider-Man? Shit.
Well, Keith, if you ever want to be Spider-Man to me, you can.
No, it's too late. Anytime. We're going to have to put him in somewhere if he does that.
And, no. Keith.
Yes.
You are Spider-Man.
Thank you. It feels like it.
And you will always be Spider-Man.
Sure. Thank you. You can call me Peter.
Oh. So, Keith, what'd you learn? How are you?
Yeah.
Kyle said she sent me a text after hearing that. She goes, I don't think I like your mom. Is that okay to say? And I'm like, I already told you that I didn't see how I'd ever be able to visit again. So, yeah, I'm fine with that, too. Yeah,
but
I don't see how.
That's a tougher one because you like her, but.
Nah, she has Alzheimer's. She doesn't know who I am. It's fine.
Really getting over this one at a time. Just going, yep, felt it. Yeah. Great. I'm done. Felt it. Yeah. Great. Done. Okay. Yep. OMAT is really working. The OMAT club. I mean, you take it twice a day. So it's like definitely a rev up.
I find like out.
Right, to Matt. I get the same benefits I think most people do, like that they come to a conclusion, but it takes them a while to settle into it. Me, it just takes me a while to find the answer, but then immediately I'm like, I believe that is the answer.
You have more epiphanies than slow plays into reality.
Yes.
We can call it that.
But would you say you don't like your mom anymore?
Hate her! No, I like her. I don't know. I would say, which is what everybody says.
Would you say that it's complicated and there's a little bit of nuance?
No, not at all. She had five kids, and I understand that's tough. But no, she did reach the boiling point way too fast. I know. Yes.
Got it.
Not nice.
All right, well, send a leaf in the envelope for her, too.
I'll ask her, how does she want to die?
What type of leaves are you interested in crunching underfoot, mother? Okay, let's talk about silent trailers. So that was so fun. I was on the team of people against Keith. It's Team Keith versus Team everyone else on the thing. Me, Andrea, Tracy Carnazzo, Newsy, Craig Klein. What an excellent lineup. What a fun day. I wanted to keep going. I wanted more rounds.
We can only double the points so many times. You know? We're going to run out of numbers.
Also, there are only so many decades, because this time the theme was decades. There are only so many decades that had movies. So once you hit 2020 and like, I don't know, how many past the 70s could you really?
I thought that was really a great finale, Hemda, to have it be to the 70s, but then the last round was 2020. I was like, oh, that's the plan. Brilliant.
That's nice. Shout out to Xerxes.
So, shout out to Xerxes. And also, so I texted the group text of people who were on that I said, I'm going to talk about our silent trailers game. Anyone have any thoughts or reflections they'd like me to share with the audience? And Tracy says, I'd like to say that I apologize for cursing Keith out many times, but it's how I felt in my heart.
Well, still, I don't know how much she grew. I can't really tell, but I appreciate it. Yeah, she's, some people, the kid comes in and he sweeps up and it upsets people. And I get it.
Yeah. Andrea said, sorry, I tried to transfer your cancer to Keith.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of apologies being bandied about.
That feels good.
People loved the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
We were trash talking your Crocs.
Yeah, which is interesting because I'm at the studio. So Andrea has to go to my place, and that's where she records from. And so she starts wearing my Crocs, like, oh, look at these ugly pieces of shit. Everybody does that. 12-year-old Benny puts on the Crocs when we're on vacation. Oh, look at these stupid shoes. I'm like, well, I'm going to need these stupid shoes back because they're mine and I love them. And guess who loves them too? You. Cop them up.
Crocs are the best.
And then he's wearing sandals as we walk, and he's getting blisters and shit on his sandals. He goes, I'm going to go barefoot. It's easier. And I go, oh, easier than what? Your better sandals? You idiot.
Nice.
Yeah.
You showed him.
Yeah, I showed him. You can't treat him like kids.
It was super fun. And I don't want to spoil anything because these Silent Trailers Live will be coming out. But it got real close at the end, and that was extra mm-hmm. fun. And, we looked at individual scores, even though you guys worked as a team. And Bianca, MVP, five out of the six rounds, you beat Keith. Nice. And Tracy got none of them, but it's always nice to catch up with her.
Keith, do you feel like I'm a real, like I'm a formidable opponent? I mean, yes. If it was just me versus you, I did pretty much wipe the floor with you.
Well, I don't know
about
that.
There's no I in team, but if there was, come on.
I would have won. you were scary. You were scary. You knew some things. You had, I think, home life issues also. So you saw a lot of movies too, and I was very proud.
Yeah, it's like you either are one of five or you're an only child. Right. And that way you see a lot of movies and you memorize a lot of facts.
I also loved how the team was trying to cheat and then ended up giving Keith the answer every single time. That was hilarious.
they're mouthing
the word. Yeah, as if Keith can't see them. And Keith is paying more attention because he's used to hearing my horrible descriptions. So it was a good try. A very good try.
Well, it was so fun, and I was especially proud of the one that I got for the 2020 decade, because that felt, triumphant.
Yeah, I didn't hear of any of those.
You could say, what was it? What was the 2021?
It was The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck. I don't know what you said that made
awesome
me.
My awesome description for the guy from the other movie.
Yes.
With,
the other guy.
With the Matt guy who, it's not your fault. So that guy who helped write it, he's in this.
I don't think he's all that.
He was like with J-Lo, I think, for a little while. Anyway. And somehow Tom Cruise was in every single movie I described. So no, this time it was Brad Pitt was in every movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the helicopter and the military.
Right.
A lot of military. Yeah.
Which Tracy was pretty mad about for whatever reason. But she was pretty mad about a lot. What happened.
She
a lot
was
of
mad that I wasn't describing the movie Holocaust 1, Holocaust 2, Holocaust 3.
She made some wild guesses.
I don't know. Holocaust 1, Holocaust 2. I mean, now we have to make those films.
Right. I think we should.
What it means. Yeah.
They're officially popular. Tracy deemed them out there. Let's make them. So that's my new project that I'm not allowed to start yet.
Well, guys, it was so much fun. Great to be on a game show.
Yeah.
Great to get out there in front of an audience, just really let loose and perform.
And guys, if you were there and you liked the lineup, like all they have right now is you following them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, it's not that hard to find. And if you let them know they did a great job on Saturday, if that's how you truly feel in your heart, what an incredible message to receive completely publicly so that they can rub it in their friends' faces. Huh? Uh-huh. Ours is at Keith and the Girl, but the lineup is out there on our timelines. Send that shout out. Say hello like they're your friends.
Yes, agree. Agree. Like, share.
Yes.
That sentence from Hemda.
Yes. How long is it going to take you? 1 minute?
Connect. Connect.
Connect.
All right, guys. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. catching up with you.
Likewise.
And I just have one thing left to do, which is sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Keith, this one's for you.
Thank you.
Keith is the champion, mm-hmm. my friends.
What a good song.
And he'll guess the movies till the end. Keith is the champion. Keith is the champion. He guessed all the movies, so he is the champion.
With silent help.
Trailers.
With what?
My help. I did it all. I described so good. I'm so good at
this. If anything, she made it impossible.
Champion of the universe.
Thank you.
KeithandtheGirl.com.